When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by EOC Audio, Chicagoland's leader in audio, video, networking, and home automation. EOCAudio.com.
Kevin Fishbane.
I got Fishy Business, K. Fishbane.
Fishy Business?
Fishy Business, what I call him whenever I have him on the show, Fishy Business.
Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
Obviously, sports radio of the year in the state of Illinois. You don't get that by accident. He does a wonderful job for those guys.
I'm not leaving to cover the Detroit Lions.
Kevin Fishbane talking Bears.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic.
I love your name.
It's a great name.
Yeah, great name.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Kevin Fishbane brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS and by the Illinois Department of Transportation. It's not a game, Illinois.com. He is with us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. And he is with us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. K-Fish, how you doing, man?
Good, just normal, regular week nine, right, guys?
Yeah, that's what they tell us, except for we're in our Mr. Potato Head mode right now because we're trying to assemble an offensive line. Can you help us with that for Sunday's game against Arizona?
Yeah, so they have options. Larry Borum, my best guess is Larry Borum's going to start at left tackle based on kind of what we know about him and that he's healthy and he's got the experience. Not a ton, but he's played there before, and that's probably where they go to. You know, the other option they have is they move Matt Pryor to left tackle, and assuming Tevin Jenkins is healthy, Tevin Jenkins starts at his normal spot at guard, and Nate Davis is back in the lineup at the other guard spot. So a lot of this is hinging on Tevin Jenkins' health as well. I don't know if Ryan Bates is going to be ready to go this quickly after just returning to practice this week. I mean, he's got a pretty significant sling or harness on his shoulder. So, you know, it'd be great if he's ready to go. But yeah, we'll hopefully find out some more clarity in the next hour when it comes to who's going to be out and who's going to be questionable.
Now, your ironic tone to start the interview is certainly worth a real question. And that is, what is the lingering effect of what this week has been? You know, how many reckonings, how many sort of the awareness of these meetings and these votes of confidence at various levels from various veterans, how much can this team take?
Yeah, Dan, I think the three of us kind of didn't predict this, but we talked about this exact thing last Friday, right? We talked about the coaching staff kind of being that one concern at this point. We saw what the offense's potential was. We know what the defense can do, but what's going this coaching staff can do when it's in a close game? What are the calls they're going to make that can help put the team in position to win? And we saw what happened last Sunday. And then we also said, how many of these conversations can they have? How many of these big team summits can one organization take? You know, the one two solaces, if you will, is this is a talented group. It is a veteran, experienced, talented team. So you'd like to think that in the end, talent can win out. You know, when push comes to shove, you'd like. Now, obviously, that didn't happen at the end of last week's game. And part of it was execution, obviously. And part of it was certainly on the coaching. And the offense didn't do its part until the fourth quarter. The other thing, and I'm putting a lot on a rookie, is the Bears have a quarterback, right? Like, and Caleb Williams struggled last week through three quarters. And it's going to be even harder for him with this makeshift offensive line going on the road. I get all of that. But guys, we've dealt with Bears drama over the years. And throughout all those, you know, to use the John Fox crisis or carnival, throughout all those crises, you never felt good about the quarterback. So I just, you know, you wonder if there's a moment where if they win on Sunday and if the offense looks good, you kind of say, well, okay, they at least have the quarterback to kind of navigate through us. But again, yeah, that's putting a lot on his shoulders to overcome a below average offensive line that's already banged up and a coaching staff that has proven that it's not making the right calls at critical moments.
Yeah, you're hitting on some of the things I talked about at the top of the show, Kevin, when I said for three things that need to happen here, I said, one, they got to be better on third down. We talk about the slow starts. A lot of that has to do with the fact that on third down, they're just not getting it done. I don't know if they need to mix up the play calls, whatever. Figure it out, Shane Waldron. That's your job. Caleb Williams has to be better, point blank. And also, Matt Eberflus has to outcoach the guy that's on the other sideline because he certainly didn't do that against Dan Quinn. And to your point, talking about Caleb Williams, if they had won that game, Hail Mary, as ugly as it would have been, you could have said, hey, Caleb Williams, not once but twice, led what were game-winning drives if they won. But they didn't. So we're back to that. And now the biggest question I have is, it's the road, Kevin. What mystique does the road have on Matt Eberflus and company?
Yeah, it's a weird thing for them to have been this bad on the road, you know, to have not won a Sunday road game in the entire Eberflus era. They're 3-17 overall. And I don't know if there's one specific thing or one trend, or, you know, if it has something to do with their travel routine or things like that. I mean, these are all things that they look at, and I'm sure they looked at this past offseason because they knew how they fared on the road last year and the year before, and maybe they made changes, but there's just something that they're just not working on the road. Now, I don't think they lost those games because they were playing away from Soldier Field, but this is more than just a trend. And if they lose on Sunday, you can continue piling that on. So I'm not sure necessarily what it is. I expect there to be a decent amount of Bears fans in the stands in Arizona. I will say this about Washington. That way, you know, hearing from Commanders writers, they couldn't remember that building being like that from like an enthusiasm from that fan base in a long time. And you heard Kevin Byard say this week that felt like a playoff atmosphere in that game. And it very much felt like the Bears, the road team. I don't know if it's going to be like that on Sunday. I do expect to be a fair amount of Bears fans in Arizona. Maybe that helps. But this is clearly something that has gone wrong. They just haven't been able to win on the road.
Well, this is a playoff game for the Bears pretty much. You know, because you really start, when we're doing that choose your own adventure, you're talking about different paths here and a very difficult next week for them with tougher questions starting to get asked.
They have to win on Sunday, Dan. They have to win on Sunday and they have to beat the Patriots. You have to enter division play 6-3 because everything we've seen from the three teams in division talent-wise and coaching-wise, the Bears are last right now. You know, maybe you can quibble with talent when it comes to the Bears and Vikings, because I think we've seen the Vikings, you know, show some of their, you know, that they're not as good maybe as the start. But we know how good the Lions are. We know how good the Packers are. And we know how good the coaching staff is in Minnesota. So you have to give yourself as much leeway as you can heading into that stretch. So I think this is must win on Sunday. And I think it's must win the final week against New England. And then you put yourself in position to go 3-3 in the division and go from there. And then if you can beat Seattle, then you're very much in, you know, to go. But like you go back to those first three quarters from Sunday, guys, and you're sitting there like, how are they going to win any games in the division?
Right.
Not going to beat any of those teams if the offense plays like that. Like the defense can only do so much. It's incredible what the defense is doing. And, you know, but it's hard to ask them to do that when you look at who else is on their schedule. So yeah, I think that you're right, Dan. This is a playoff situation for them, and they don't like to admit that publicly, but they should be operating in that mode that this is a must win.
Kevin, my concern is what you just said about the division and how the talent stacks up and the coaching stacks up. And you mentioned you can argue about how far away they are talent wise from the other three teams, but from a coaching standpoint, given what we've seen, given what we have not seen from Matt Eberflus, I think that's where there's such a gap right now. And I don't know that they can make up that gap unless Matt Eberflus can evolve, as it were, to doing things that we have not seen him do in 2.5 seasons.
I mean, Marshall, if you look at, I don't have it in front of me, but coach of the year odds, I'm guessing Kevin O'Connell, Dan Campbell, and Matt LaFleur are all in the top 5 or 6 or 7. And Matt Eberflus is probably really high up on the, you know, the odds for the first coach to be fired.
And that's not how it started. In the offseason, I think Eberflus was one of the leaders for coach of the year.
And the other list, too. Yeah. He was on both lists.
You're right. He was on both. Now it's coming back to me, yeah.
Yeah, because and you could see why he was on both, because you were worried about moments like what happened Sunday. You were worried about what happened in Indianapolis. Guys, obviously the Hail Mary is going to stick with them, but I think I might have said this last week. If they don't make the playoffs by a game, they're going to look at that Indianapolis game and say, "What the heck happened? Like, how do we lose to the Colts?" And the way that they defended Anthony Richardson in that game. And yeah, I mean, you said it, that the coaching difference right now is vast. And what does Matt Eberflus have to do to kind of change? I mean, there's obviously some things that Matt Eberflus does really well. He's an incredible defensive play caller. We've seen that. And, you know, Matt Eberflus, when he got hired, there were so many comparisons to Lovey, right? And Dan, you know so well the way this town handled the Lovey Smith era. Mm-hmm. And the results were there on the field for a lot of those seasons, but the consternation about the head coach seemed to always be there. And I think for Eberflus, the best thing for him to do is to hope that the talent that this built up here and paired with his defensive scheme, that they're just going to be good enough. And he's almost always going to be under fire in that spot. And like that's like the situation I feel like they're in right now.
But part of it was the fact that the number of coordinators you go through on the other side of the football. Again, it was a defensive head coach. And that's when Eberflus was hired. Obviously, the comparisons are going to be there for that reason, and obviously for the type of defense that he likes to run. But it still came down to how many times can you shuffle through this next quarterback's coach and this next coordinator and making sure you've got the right personnel for him. The Bears are doing it again. By retaining Eberflus through this year, they guaranteed that they would have that off-schedule construction that is a hallmark of Bears issues.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing that could have happened this year, Dan, was for them to go 10-7, make the playoffs, and Caleb Williams to look good, and the offense to look good, and they know they have the guy in Shane Waldron, and, you know, your worst case is that he leaves because he gets a head coaching opportunity because he did that good of a job. And obviously, this team right now is far away from that perception. Now, they're not that far away from getting to 10-7 necessarily. We laid out the path. It's there. But in terms of the perception of the coaching staff, it is not there. So yeah, you're in a situation now where, you know, like, you're talking about coaching changes already for a team that is 4-3. And I get why we're doing it, and why you're concerned about this franchise getting to this brutal cycle they continue to put themselves in. But when you lose games the way that they've lost games in the last year, you know, they put themselves in position for us to have these conversations.
Kevin Fishbane, terrific as always. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
That is Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. He has the hardware that says he is the best sports writer in the world or something like that. You are listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday presented by your local Ford dealers and by IDOT. It's not a game, Illinois.com. One thing we know the Bears have to do is stop being bad at offense early in games.
And bad is the right word to use, right? Not be better. No, stop being bad.
Score points.
Or at least hold on to the football and get some, win the field position game, if nothing else.
Extend drives, convert some third downs. At least stress a defense a little bit more if we're really lowering the bar. Well, Kerry Joseph, the quarterback's coach, we're just talking about quarterback's coaches, he talked about Caleb Williams and was asked directly why Williams is missing throws early in games.
Just with some of the rough beginnings, including last week, is he too amped up or is he just inaccurate? I mean,
he's a 22-year-old rookie quarterback playing in the NFL, you know, so you're going to have emotions here and there. But he does a great job of just staying relaxed and just being in the moment. You know, he doesn't change. You know, when he comes out and we do our pre-game throws, he's the same way. And you just have those moments, you know. Everybody's different. You know, everybody has their moments. But the thing I love about him is the way he resets himself. You know, even if he misses a throw here or there, I mean, for him to come back and to play the way he played in the fourth quarter, man, that's nothing but grit and mental toughness.
The play he made to Keenan last time on the move, what was most notable to you about that sequence?
Yeah, I got hit a few times. It's just a great job extending the play. You know, that's the one the DN came off. think it was Rome. He had in the flat right away, but, the DN kind of had his vision. Mm-hmm. He made another good athletic move to get around him. And then running, attacking with the ball up, with his eyes up. He has great field vision. And then Keenan being able to slide into the open area. That's just two guys being football players.
Yeah.
You know, that.
Just some level of touch on that throw, too. That's
two guys as NFL football players that's making a play. And that's what it comes down to, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's good. And at some point, hey, you guys got to go make a play, and that's what they did.
That was very make or miss league in the NBA at the end of that.
A little bit, yeah.
Because, yeah, at the end of the day, what he's saying is execution. Can you execute? Are you good enough to execute against other men who are trying to stop you from executing?
It was a good question by Grody, but Joseph sort of broadened. He's a 22-year-old playing in the NFL. Okay, I understand that. That's stating a fact. What about that makes him erratic early? Because he did say you're going to have some emotions, and Grody said, is he amped up too much? And all right, if he is agreeing to that, if he will stipulate to that, what are you going to do about it? How do you coach that then? You're the quarterback's coach. How would you make sure, how would you have him learn from that if it's true he gets settled and if it's true he is better later? How do you get that out of the way? How do you have him grow past early game jitters?
I think it's just experience. I think you just have to live, play enough, and we act like he's already. I know you said he's no longer a rookie quarterback when he had a couple of good games.
Doesn't feel like it,
but he is a rookie quarterback, Dan. And I think last week solidifies the difference between being a great rookie quarterback and a rookie quarterback who is performing well. You can be performing well, but you're going to have these speed bumps. Last week was a big speed bump that he hit, and he couldn't quite get control of the car after he went over the bump. Jaden Daniels, on the other side, was in control the entire time.
This is sort of like the Ryan Porth, Will Levis analogy. About Will Levis, he can drive country roads, but the moment he gets on the highway, he has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is true for a young driver, right? You can drive through the little stoplights, and you're not going over 35 miles per hour in a residential neighborhood.
Learning to drive, I always thought was easier on the highway.
How so?
Because once everybody is at the speed of traffic, there's much less chaos going on.
When you make a mistake going in a residential
neighborhood, it's more dangerous.
Yeah, so that's what we're talking about.
I'm not saying it's not more dangerous, but I actually think that highway driving can be easier, even though the risk is higher because the speed is higher. They're different things.
I think they're related because the risk reward is very much, yeah.
Yeah, but now the car is going to tell you, you're half asleep. Or your car is going to say, you're out of your lane. Donnie, you're out of your element.
This is very opposite of when I learned how to drive a stick, drive my uncle's bug. It's very opposite of that.
I can drive a
where
stick.
Where I was jumping up and doing all kinds of, the clutch was popping away. But then, after a couple of days, I got the hang of it. I enjoy driving a stick more than I enjoy driving an automatic vehicle.
You ever learn the double clutch downshift?
Yes.
That's something my dad taught me, which I thought was so. Because for a while when I was driving stick, I refused to use my brakes. I would only gear down. I would only engine stop.
You can do that, but...
Downshift, downshift, downshift. And to match the RPMs in between gears...
There's a rhythm,
when
yes.
You're in neutral, you rev it, and then your RPMs are up to match the lower gear. I used to love downshifting all the way to the very end and then only using the brake to hold me at the red light.
Well, we don't need Shane Waldron or Caleb Williams or anybody else concerning the offense to downshift. We need an upshift. We need to figure out how quickly can you get into fourth gear. Because right now, they've been idling coming out of the start of these games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been bad. Very bad.
I'd like to know, with his routine, we've seen the Caleb routine. I mean, it's very regimented. It's very specific. If there's something he needs to do to be more ready and to be less amped or be able to see things well, every minute counts.
Here's what I'll tell you, Dan. I told you off the top of the show, Chicago comes in 27th in the NFL with a 32.98% conversion rate on third downs.
Which you said was 27th.
27th. When it's third and five or shorter, that number only goes up to 40.5%. It's a problem all the way around. Because at first I thought, well, maybe it's just because they're always in these you know, behind the chain situations. But even when they have short yardage situations, they're not converting over 50%. Now, one of the things Arizona will let you do is convert on third down. 52% conversion rate. That's what they're letting their opponents convert on. So you have to seize that opportunity now. You know, get strong off a weak opponent. Get into a quicker rhythm off a team that does not do well. But if you remember back to the Indianapolis game, when we were like, oh, well, they give up all the rushing and the Bears can't rush. They'll get it going. They're also working on their third down defense. So we'll see if they can win that battle from a scheme, play, talent. They should have the win based on talent alone.
I agree. Unfortunately, that's not how this league works. It's just, you don't add up your wins above replacement and just declare a winner.